This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ken Bernstein is a graduate of the Political Leaders Program Class of 2008 at UVA's Sorensen Institute. He is a public school teacher of excellence, recognized by the New York Times, and a blogger, a political blogger of note, known nationally as he blogs under the name Teacher Ken. He joins us on the long line. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Your holidays going well?
So far.
You emailed me the other night, and I was so jealous because you said something about, I'm just sitting here in front of the fireplace, I got my books and my cats, and it sounded so nice.
Yeah, that's until I had to sit down and grade 90 papers, which is what I've been doing today.
I married a school teacher. I know what y'all go through. It's brutal. And for those who don't have academics in their family, they have no idea. They think it's a life of leisure, but it's anything but. I mean, you talk about bringing your work home with you.
Well, I figure my average work day, now that I no longer coach on top of it while school's in session, it comes out to be someplace along the lines of 12 to 14 hours a day.
I don't doubt it one minute. I don't doubt it. And for folks who don't know, Ken, what exactly do you teach?
As it happens, I teach government, so my passion overlaps with my teaching.
There you go. Perfect. Let's talk about a little government here in Virginia in 2009. It's a big year. Virginia's going to be very political. Of course, we have elections every year, and this is a 09 will be a big year. All sorts of radio ads, all sorts of TV. Virginia will choose a new governor, a new lieutenant governor, a new attorney general, and then every seat in the House of Delegates will be up for election. That's not to mention the slew of local elections that will be going on. Here in Charlottesville, I think there's 3 seats on the Charlottesville City Council, 3 seats on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Lots going on in 09. Let's talk about some of these statewide races, and let's look at the Republicans first, because that might be the easiest.
Okay, well, look at the Republicans first, and the first thing to note is they only have one contest for the 3 races. By a negotiated deal between Bill Bowling and Bob McDonald, our attorney general will be the Republican nominee for governor, and the lieutenant governor will run for re-election. That means the only contested race they're going to have is attorney general. And that raises questions whether, remembering, since we don't register by party in Virginia, you can pick either primary, how many people will actually get drawn in to choose among the 8 people who are potentially going to run for attorney general?
Eight Republicans. 8 Republicans are going to be potentially vying for the attorney general
spot. This is according to the College Republican Federation of Virginia.
Wow.
Ken Cuccinelli has announced, state senator from Northern Virginia who won narrowly the last time. He is very conservative. You also have state senators Mark Obenshine, Ryan McDougall, Delegate Rob Bell from your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Delegate Terry Kilgore, brother of the former of Attorney General, twin, as a matter of fact. Prince William County Chair Corey Stewart, U.S. Attorney John Brownlee, and former Delegate Paul Harris. Depends on the size of the turnout. You've only got 2 from Northern Virginia. The question is, where did the votes turn out and why? Cuccinelli's probably as well known as anybody, but I would think that it would be a wide open race. It all depends how many get in.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. Ken, I thought, is that going to be a primary or a convention? Because if it's a convention, it's going to tend to favor the gentleman from Northern Virginia.
I am actually not up to date on whether or not they've even decided that yet.
Interesting.
Okay. As you know, in Virginia, if there is an incumbent running for the same, he gets, at least with the Republicans, to pick the option, which is how John Warner survived when the Republicans were mad at him for dragging Marshall Coleman in to split the vote against Dolly North. But I just don't honestly know the answer to that one.
Right. And that, of course, will be the big factor in deciding who's going to be the nominee for that seat for the Republicans.
Well, we just saw that this last cycle, because Tom Davis figured he could win a primary but knew he had no chance to win a convention. And then, to everybody's surprise, Jim Gilmore barely survived against Bob Marshall in the convention for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. So how about on the Democratic side, it's a little bit more interesting, a little bit more up in the air for those nominees.
Yeah, what you have is there is a second candidate in the race for attorney general whose name's escaping me right now. He's an attorney from further down in the state. But that the attorney general's race looks to be pretty heavily in the direction of Delegate Steve Shannon from Fairfax. I say that because, A, the primary vote is going to be heavily in Northern Virginia, and, B, He's already been endorsed by a number of Democratic attorneys general from other states, and he's got a lot of major players in the state behind him. So, you know, while nominally he's got a candidate against him, that may not be competitive. You are going to have a three-way race for governor, and you have a two-way race for lieutenant governor, given that Dickey Cranwell is not going to get into the race at this point. So let's do lieutenant governor first. Okay.
And this, of course, is for the Democratic nomination.
The Democratic nomination. Yeah. You have John Bauerbank, who is, I believe, a Russell County supervisor, and he is also an energy executive. He got into the race first, and he's actually picked up some interesting endorsements, including State Senator Chap Peterson, a number of party chairs, including some from the chair of Prince William County Democratic Committee and the Fairfax City Democratic Committee. The second person to get into the race is well known to people who follow state politics. That's Jody Wagner, who has been the state treasurer and secretary of finance in the last two administrations. She's out of Virginia Beach. She, one of my classmates and political leaders, was one of the first people to endorse her. And it, you know, you would probably give her the edge. You assume she has the connections. But, again, one never knows how these kind of things play out, particularly with the complications we have in the governor's race, which is going to be three-way.
For the Democratic nomination.
Right. You have former Delegate Brian Moran, who resigned his seat. And I'll talk about why I think he resigned his seat in a moment.
Yeah.
You have State Senator Cree Deeds. Now, Brian Moran's from Alexandria. You have Cree Deeds, who is from Bath County. And the wild card in the race, who has said he will make up his mind by January 7th, but is announcing on January 7th, is former Democratic National Committee Director Chair Terry McAuliffe, who was also the chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign. And he has lived in McLean for over 20 years, raised his kids here, never been all that visible in Virginia politics, but he has been busy touring all over the state, talking to people, saying a lot of things that they want to hear. He's boned up quite a bit on Virginia issues, and I don't think he should be taken lightly because he has the ability to bring tons of money in, even into a primary.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, a public school teacher, a graduate of the Sorensen Institute, and an expert on Virginia politics. Ken, you had dinner with Terry McAuliffe recently, right?
Terry McAuliffe has got a couple of fairly big names in and around Virginia politics working for him. This was on the record for what it was. He put out an invitation to the people who were on the editorial board of the about-to-shut-down Raising Cain blog. Several of us have already moved over to another blog called Blue Commonwealth, plus Ben Tribbett, if not Larry Sabatow. He was there with three staffers, one of whom was Mo Elathy, whose name should be familiar to people in terms of the things he's done in Virginia politics, and the other is about as big a name as you can get among Virginia operatives, was Mike Henry, which shows he's able to draw some people who know Virginia politics and know how to run campaigns. And he was very open. He gave us a short form of a stump speech and then took questions. When he was corrected offline by one of us on a statement that he made, he accepted the correction. He is not to be underestimated, not just because of the money, but because some people just think you need to shake things up. I know that at least one prominent member of the Virginia blogosphere is probably going to go to work for him.
Wow. So why did Brian Moran resign his seat? Because Cree Deeds is not resigning his seat.
Well, there's a difference. Cree is in a majority of 21 to 19 in the state Senate. He is not up for election. Okay, he is in a position where he doesn't have to worry about that, and because the Democrats control the agenda, he does not have to worry about being forced to vote on embarrassing things. Brian's seat would be up for re-election anyhow, and he cannot run for both offices at the same time. It's a perfectly safe Democratic seat. The risk always was, and this is my guess, and I don't know this for a fact, that Brian had a certain amount of worry that the Republicans would use their control of the House of Delegates to force him to make some uncomfortable votes.
That would hurt him in his race for the gubernatorial
correct.
Nomination.
Now, there's a further factor that you have a 45-day session coming up, and by state law, if you are a member of the government, you cannot be raising funds while the General Assembly is in session. This is to avoid getting campaign contributions to influence what's going on. So some people have said he did it for the money. This is my personal guess. I don't know. I think it's less the question of the money than it is the combination of wanting to focus full-time on the campaign and also to avoid any possible embarrassing votes.
My guest is Virginia political expert Ken Bernstein. So what are they going to be running on in 09? The economy and the budget mess?
Well, you know, that's where it's kind of all up in the air. People are talking about transportation, education, getting the house in order on the government, all kinds of things. But obviously the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the budget crisis in Virginia, because you are looking at a minimum of a $2.5 billion and maybe as much as $4 billion shortfall for the biennial budget, with a good deal of that falling in the second half of the two-year budget.
Ken, that's huge.
It is huge.
And it's only going to get worse throughout 09. I mean, the closer you get to the election, the worse it's going to get.
Well, what you're looking at is the two-year budget runs around $75 billion, if my memory serves. And you don't have a lot of flexibility, and it's going to mean a lot of cuts, largely because there is absolutely no evidence that even if you were talking about raising taxes on the wealthiest Virginians, that you could ever get a tax increase through the current House of Delegates.
Oh, my God. So it's almost inevitable that we're going to see some pretty serious cuts, and we're going to see them in places like schools and public safety and health care.
Well, I think the places you're going to see actually health care and schools combined in the schools, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Kaine has already proposed $340 million in reductions of non-classroom staff, state support for schools. That would be primarily things like social workers and school nurses. Okay. And another $83 million in school construction. You take that last one, that means Loudoun County will not be able to start at least one new school that they need to be able to start, and they're bursting at the seams, and they're going to have to redraw lines and everything else. I don't know what the figures will be like around the rest of the state. The Washington Post gave some idea of the impact for some of the districts up here. Loudoun County will lose $15 million, Prince William $40 million, and Fairfax, $48 million. Now, what Kaine has promised to try to do is to keep his cuts to no more than $400 per student within the school system, but that falls very inequitably. I live in Arlington. We spend $20,267 per student as of 2 years ago, so $400 is relatively small. Go out to on the Northern Neck, to I guess it's King George County, and they spend just over $8,000. So you're talking about a 5% cut in their total budget as far as what the state could be cutting from them if it's $400. It will fall much more heavily on the rural districts that tend to be much more dependent on the state paying a proportion of the total cost of education.
This is going to be a mess.
Yes, it will.
Oh, man, that is absolutely going to be a mess in 09. And, of course, this is going to be a huge issue. It should be. This should be the big issue.
Yeah, but there's one very odd thing. Virginia may actually get something as a result of the budget crisis, although it's not Virginia's budget crisis. As you know, we failed in the special session in transportation. But if McConnell doesn't hold things up in the United States Senate, a major portion of what the stimulus package is going to be, as Obama is laying it out, is infrastructure, which means roads, bridges, and all that kind of stuff. So it may finally be that Virginia is able to build some of these roads that they have kept putting off and putting off and putting off because we haven't been able to come up with a funding formula for transportation.
We may get them because the feds will do it as a economic stimulus package.
That is correct.
Which would be fantastic.
But it still does not solve the problem that we have not never solved the issue of how we fund transportation down here, nor have we solved a number of the other issues, including, well, you know, basically we have to have a balanced budget, but we have an ability to dip to a certain degree into emergency funds. But if you're talking a 2 or 3 year severe recession nationwide, which is within the realm of possibility the ways some people are talking, it is not clear what kind of budget you would have after the current biennial budget.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, a political blogger, nationally recognized political blogger, a teacher of excellence, and a graduate of UVA Sorensen Institute. Ken, how do you think this is going to play out? I mean, you've been studying this stuff for decades. What do you think is going to happen?
To some degree, what's going to happen in Virginia is going to be how people want things to play nationally. Virginia is going to be the national focus in terms of elections. There are elections in the city of New York for mayor of New York, city of Los Angeles for the mayor of Los Angeles, which might be a little controversial. You may have a couple of special elections around, and you have the New Jersey governor, which is not particularly contested. So what do you have left? You have Virginia, which the Democrats just took control of in the congressional district, just won the electoral votes, and the Republicans want to do all they can to take it back. You are going to see money pouring into the state like you've never seen before. Now, who the money comes from may have a great deal to do with how the issues play out, because unlike federal campaigns, as you well know, there is no maximum on what you can give to a Virginia campaign. If somebody wants to come in, like one of these people who funded 527s against John Kerry, and write a $10 million check for a candidate in Virginia, he can do it.
Oh, man. So we are likely going to see in 2009 record numbers spent in the race for governor, lieutenant governor, all these statewide races.
That would be the expectation. That would be the expectation.
And the reason this is important, as you point out, this is the only big election. This will be the first big commentary. A lot of national folks will be watching this to see. This will be the first measure of the Obama administration, the elections in November in 2009 in Virginia.
Unless you wind up with the state legislature in Illinois able to vacate the governor's power to a point which he's already exercising, I don't think they can, to have a special election to fill that Senate seat. Their failure to act, you know, Blagojevich is still governor. He has not yet even been impeached. If he makes the appointment and sends the papers to the Secretary of State has said he won't sign them, but constitutionally under the Illinois Constitution, that is a ministerial act. He has no discretion. He just has to sign them. And if he refuses, I'm sure the state Supreme Court will order him to do it. And I don't think the Democrats in the U.S. Senate have the ability to block somebody who has been duly appointed, besides which it will then become a big miss, because the guy who's being appointed is the guy Blagojevich defeated for the Democratic nomination for governor. They're not buddy-buddy, and he's an African-American who's been elected statewide twice, and he's not from Chicago. So you've got another mess going over there. That's another problem they've got to deal with. As far as Virginia, money will play a role in it. What kinds of decisions come out of the 45-day session is going to play a role in it. We're just going to have to see.
Ken Bernstein is a public school teacher, a graduate of UVA Sorensen Institute, and a nationally recognized political blogger. Ken, always enjoy talking to you, and let's get you back on real soon. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.